That really stood out to me this week.
Excuse me.
And I just stuck my pen in the wrong place. With our Wednesday night Bible studies, if you have not been here, you have really missed it. But he has talked so much about how the quest for this age is the quest for autonomy, for self-determination, and identify the way you want to identify. And when I came across this psalm this week, it just really spoke to me how the Word of God is so current to us.
Yes.
No matter what age we live in, the Word of God is current. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. This is Psalm 66. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious.
Yes.
Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing unto thy name. Selah. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot, and there we did rejoice in him. He ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Selah. Exactly what we've been learning the last few weeks. I've just really, really enjoyed it. This morning, I think we ought to do exactly what that song says, to let the glory of the Lord be made known among us. To yes. each other, we're singing to God, and we're encouraging each other yes. with our praise as well. Yes, so let's sing, let it rise.
Let the Spirit.
joy.
Let the joy of the Lord rise among us. Let the joy of the Lord rise among us. Let the praise of the King rise among us. Let it rise. Let it rise.
Standing, you may be seated. He is worthy of the glory. He's worthy that we would come together on a Sunday morning. He's worthy that we would rise early and put on our Sunday best, show up at the house of the Lord to give Him glory, to give Him praise, because He's worthy. Amen? If you have your Bibles and you'd be so kind, I want you to turn to Romans chapter number 14. First song we sang this morning started, "Let the joy of the Lord rise among us." You can stand to your feet, that'd be proper. It's fitting that the subject matter for this morning's lesson is simply that three-letter word, joy. Joy. I realize that in our humanity sometimes and in life circumstances and situations, we are not always happy. But that doesn't mean that we cannot be joyous. All right? Romans chapter number 14, begin reading in verse number 17. One verse of scripture there. It is our focus verse. And then we will turn to John chapter 16 and read a couple passages there. John 16, 21 through 24. Romans 14 and 17. "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." Everybody say, "In the Holy Ghost." In the Holy Ghost. I'm going to find righteousness and I'm going to find peace and I'm going to have joy in my life. It's not going to come from any other source. I'm not going to be able to attain it any other way. It's not going to be applied to my life by any other attributes. It's only going to be by my connection with the Holy Ghost. That's where I get righteousness, that's where I get peace, and that's where I get joy, because that those things, the Bible says, are in the Holy Ghost. John chapter number 16, verse number 21 through 24. "A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for the joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, ask the Father in my name, rather, he will give it to you. Hitherto ye have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Now, I hope to point it out here later on in the study, but here's the thing we need to understand about asking and receiving. Because sometimes when we ask, what we receive is not really what we want. We ask for it. We think we know our motive. We think we know that we're asking with a pure heart. We think that we're sincere in our request. But sometimes the Bible lets us know we ask amiss. We may consume it upon our lust. And so sometimes when we ask and the answer that we receive is not the answer that we wanted nor what we desired, then the question remains, well, how can I be joyous about it? How can I find joy when I've asked and I've prayed, and yet the prayers that have been returned unto me, or the answers rather that have been returned unto me in response to my prayers, are no? Here's how you find joy even in the midst of that. You have to find joy in the reality of a God who still answers prayer. And that He knows what's best for me. And if He told me no, there's a reason why He told me no. He sees the end from the beginning. In other words, He can look back all the way from the end. And so He knows. And so I've got to find joy in nothing other than the reality that I have a God who still answers my prayer. And even though He didn't answer it the way I wanted Him to answer it, He still answered. And I can find joy in my Father. He knows what's best for me. And so I can be joyous in the reality of His answer. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Our focus thought for the lesson this morning is, every person has been promised joy in his relationship with the Lord. We read it in Romans 14 that righteousness, peace, and joy come via the power of the Holy Ghost. It is the way. It facilitates you and I living a righteous life. It allows for you and I to have peace even in the midst of storm. It allows you and I to still be joyous even when we're not happy. That is the power of the Holy Ghost. You say, well, what about in our society? We see that there's depression and psychological issues all around us. But we need to understand that many of those issues and many of those depressions and anxieties and feelings and emotions, they are not and do not come from God. They come from the enemy. They are attacks on each and every person to prevent or to keep us from experiencing the joy that God would have us experience in our life. Often when people fail to achieve their expectations or they fail to see things work out the way they had hoped and the way they had planned, sometimes it's easy in our humanity to become sad and disappointed and perhaps even start to despair. If we're not careful, if we don't understand that we have to then turn to the Holy Ghost, we then have to turn to where our strength comes from and where our power comes from and where our peace comes from and where our joy comes from. Because circumstances will often not bring us those things that we have need of. They will bring us trouble. They will bring us stresses. They will bring us anxieties. We, on the other hand, have to then understand where our strength comes from, and we must plug into the power of the Holy Ghost so that it doesn't end up in despair. So we don't focus upon the negative. So we don't look just at the cloud. Neglect to understand that God always has a silver lining in mind. For us as believers, we have received the Holy Ghost, and it is the source of true joy. And even when things are not going the way that we want them to or the way we wish them to, we need to understand that we can still have joy. Joy is deeper and more substantial than happiness. Reason why is because the source of joy is the power and presence of the Holy Ghost. It is, and it comes from the Spirit. Happiness is circumstantial. Happiness is based upon a situation or a time or a particular event. But joy is something that is much deeper and much more substantial. It is an attribute of the Spirit. It is, as Galatians tells us, a fruit of the Spirit. Joy is something much deeper. Joy is something that comes from the inside, something that is not based upon external circumstances. Joy is based upon an internal connection that I have with the one who provides the peace and the joy and the help. Psalm 16:11 says this, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." The only place that you and I, and this is why it's so important, even when we're struggling, even when we're going through circumstances of life, it is so important that we find ourselves in the presence of God. Not just in church and not just around brothers and sisters, but when we find ourselves in the presence of God in a prayer closet. In the midst of our struggle, in the midst of our circumstance, we still understand where our strength comes from. And in His presence, there is fullness of joy. Romans 15:13 says this, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." I'm going to read that again. "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing." In believing. Joy and peace comes through believing. Through trusting God. Through having my hope in Him. My hope is not in the circumstance. My hope is not in the outcome that I expect. My hope is in God. And if I place my hope in Him, whether it works the way I thought it would or not, I still have hope and I can still have joy. Person may experience certain levels of happiness and contentment apart from the Spirit, yes. No measure of pleasure and enjoyment compares to true fulfillment and satisfaction that comes through the Holy Ghost. Isaiah prophesied of the joy that would accompany redemption when he said in Isaiah 12:3, "Therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation." There are few things more positively contagious than someone who is a joyous person. Someone who, even in the midst of their circumstances, knows how to carry a smile, knows still how to sing a song, knows still how to praise and worship, knows how to dance, knows how to express themselves in a joyous manner, even though they're going through it. What a testimony of the power of God. Jesus himself utilized the analogy of flowing water to symbolize the flow of the Holy Ghost. John 7:38-39. "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly, his innermost being, shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit." It's a connection to the power and presence of God. It is the Holy Ghost at work in my life. It is that internal condition that is not affected by external conditions. It is that internal hope that I have, even in the midst of a circumstance that looks like despair. I can still have hope. It can still flow out of me because it's not based upon what's out there. It's based upon what's in here. The Bible tells us in Acts 13:52, "And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost." I remember as a young kid one time, I had been at the altar and praying, and obviously you grow up in apostolic Pentecostalism, it's the Holy Ghost is often preached, certainly. And so I, as a kid, decided that I would get the Holy Ghost. And so I decided that I had gotten the Holy Ghost. And so I went to my mom and I said, "Hey, Mom, I've got the Holy Ghost." She said, "Well, that's great." She said, "Are you sure?" And I said, "I think so." And she goes, "Well, son, the Bible tells us that part of receiving the Holy Ghost is receiving joy. Are you joyous?" I hadn't really considered that. I realized at that moment, maybe I need to investigate this Holy Ghost stuff a little bit more. Because, you know, at that point in time, I just, you know, as long as you spoke in tongues, then you know, and nobody really had to hear you, you could just say that you spoke in tongues, and then you had the Holy Ghost. We're all believers here in the house, but when I learned in that moment that, wait a second, there's more to this. There is something about, there's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So when I am a recipient of the Holy Ghost, guess what? I am a recipient of righteousness and peace and joy, and that should be displayed in my life. That internal condition now should have an effect on the external circumstances of my life, not the other way around. Those external circumstances do not and should not. You say, "Well, Pastor, that's a lot easier said than done." I know that. And it's something that we cannot do in and of ourselves. If we try to do it on our own, guess what? We will end up in despair. We will end up discouraged. We will end up. But if we do it by being connected to the power of the Holy Ghost, there is a different outcome that happens when I allow that internal connection. All of a sudden, isn't it amazing how that when you get in the presence of God, no matter how bad your day or your week has been, when you get in the presence of God and you begin to worship God, those things that seem so major and so tantamount in your life, all of a sudden they seem a lot smaller. The person who receives the Holy Ghost will exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. Just as an apple tree produces apples and an orange tree produces oranges, so the Holy Spirit produces joy, righteousness, and peace. Joy is one of the 9 fruit mentioned in Galatians 5, or attributes, as you will, identified by Paul as the results or products of the Spirit's presence work in one's life. It would be abnormal for a person to receive the Holy Ghost but fail to experience and exhibit true joy. I learned that as a little kid. Bible tells us, Galatians 5, 22 through 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. These things are the fruit of the Spirit. Joy is one of those fruits. Not only is there joy that is produced by the Spirit, there's also joy that you and I experience in our devotion, in our prayer time. Jesus said in our text where we read, he said, here too you have asked nothing in my name, but ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. There is joy and there should be joy in answered prayer. Even in the prayer that is not answered the way that I want it to be answered. Even when God tells me no, I should be joyous in the fact that he's still talking to me. That he's still telling me, that he's leading me, that he's ordering my steps. And even though it didn't happen the way I wanted it to happen, Lord, I still have joy in the reality that all things work together for the good to them that love you and that are called according to your purpose. So I will have joy even in an answer that I did not want or desire, because I know you know what's best for me. Also experience joy not only as a fruit of the Spirit, not only in prayers answered, but also in exhortation. Yes, when we come to the house of God and we hear the preached word of God and we hear teaching, and sometimes even when it steps on our toes, we need to make sure that we still leave with a smile on our face. I needed that. I needed that exhortation. John wrote in 1 John 1:4, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Many times we don't look at it that way. Pastor's picking on me. He knows what's going on in my life, so he decided to preach that. Well, maybe he does, but maybe it's not in a way that you think he knows. Maybe it is in prayer. Maybe it is in time with God, where God has spoken to him and therefore he is speaking to you. And you and I, even in the midst of that exhortation, even in the midst of sometimes that conviction that comes, there needs to be joy. He still cares enough about me that he's still going to direct me, that he's still going to correct me, that he's still going to chastise me, as we talked about last week, that he's still going to take the time to involve himself in my life to make sure I'm walking the way I need to walk and doing what I need to do. Several ways the Word of God produces joy in you and I. By hearing the preached Word of God, we grow as individuals through the preaching of the Word. We grow as a corporate body of believers, allowing the Word to produce joy in our life, allowing the Word to produce love and righteousness and peace among us, allowing those things to happen as a result of the Word of God. Through the discipline of daily Bible reading and prayer. If you don't know what it's like to be dealing with a circumstance, and in your devotion, begin to pray and read your Bible, and in that devotion, your answer comes. Can't tell you how many times I've opened the Word of God, seeking for an answer or longing for direction in my life, and in those moments, direction comes. And there is something that happens inside where you recognize this is a God thing. This is a Spirit thing. And what joy can come through Bible study groups and teaching home Bible studies. If you've never taught a home Bible study, if you've never looked across a table at someone with a Bible study chart and watched as revelation creeps across their face, I tell you what, there is some great joy to be had in spending time and teaching someone else about the Word of God. There is great joy when someone that you have invested your time and effort in and you see them come to the revelation of their need for baptism or repentance and the infilling of the Spirit, and you get to witness their journey. There's joy in that. No greater joy than to see my children walk in truth. see them responding. And certainly the joy that comes in all these forms, it should, that internal condition, that internal connection to the power and presence of God, the Holy Ghost in us, should affect us externally. That joy inside of me should keep me singing as I go. Even though I'm going through the valley of the shadow of death, that joy that is in me should keep me singing as I go. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I do know who holds tomorrow. And so I can sing with joy in the reality of that it's all in His hands and He knows exactly what He's doing. Yes, in those things and in life circumstances and even going through the valley, even dealing with the troubles, even dealing with the struggles, there can still be joy. Bible tells us how we should express joy. I won't take the time to take you to all these places, but in Psalms 132 and 9, we are told to shout for joy. It's all right to shout. It's all right to lift your voice. It's all right. Sometimes when I come into the presence of God, to vent my frustrations with a shout. To let the devil know the circumstances will not keep me silent. The situations that surround my life will not cause me to just sit back and let things go. No, I will come into the house of the Lord and I will shout for joy. I will smile in the midst of my circumstance. I'll still lift my hands. I don't know about you, but I one of the things I find joy in is symbolically striking back at the devil. You know what does my heart good? To see people who I know are going through a trial still come to the house of God and still worship and still shout and still sing. Numerous times I look out over the congregation, I'll see somebody who I know is struggling, you know, going through a situation. I'll see them with their hands lifted. I'll see them with their voice raised. I'll see them shouting. And what I'm thinking in my mind is, take that, devil. Take that, devil. Look. They're still here. They're still worshiping. You can affect everything else externally, but what you can't affect is what's going on internally. And they've got a connection to God, and they've got a connection that keeps them. So we shout for joy. We sing for joy. We sang this hymn not too long ago. Its words are, "There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee. Peace be still in all life's ebb and flow." When it's good and when it's bad. One of the things that made Job such a wonderful man. One that eschewed evil. One that when the enemy came looking for someone, it is the Lord that says, "Have you considered my servant Job?" You know, one of the great things about Job is the Bible tells us while he was blessed and he was the greatest in that region in the east, the Bible says that every morning he got up and he prepared an altar and he worshiped. When times were good, he was worshiping. And guess what? When times were bad, he was still worshiping. He was a whatever worshiper. In whatever situation I am, I'm still going to worship. How? Why? Because I'm connected. It's righteousness and peace and joy, and it's in the Holy Ghost. Clap for joy, Psalm 98 and 8. We should clap. I know it's that thing we do when the song ends. The Bible says clap for joy. I know there's some things we do just simply out of repetition and tradition. I get that. And I'm not demeaning that. But what I'm saying is, yeah, we need to also understand the Bible encourages us, clap for joy. Don't be happy that the song's over. Clap for joy. I'm thankful that I can express myself. The Bible even talks about dancing for joy. What was David's meat? Catch this. Was Michael's poison. David danced before the Lord, the Bible says, with all his might. When he removed his royal robe and a linen ephod as a servant, he danced before the Lord. Michael looked down from a window with disdain that this king would abase himself like that. He would do that. And she even makes mention as much to David. Very sarcastic way. Oh, how great you were today. He looks at her and says, listen, woman, I'm paraphrasing. This ain't word for word. You need to understand that before any of this ever happened, before I was there, when I was kicking around my father's sheep on a hillside in Bethlehem and I was just singing and throwing rocks, you need to understand he exalted me. And I'll be even more vile than thus. What was meat for David, he danced for joy. He danced in recognition of what God had done in his life. While Michael disdained it, it was an expression of the joy that David had in his life. See, we have throughout the Bible examples where people express themselves in a joyous manner. Children of Israel, their exodus from Egypt, on the other side of the shore, as they watched walls of water that stood on either side as they walked through on dry land. All of a sudden, horses and the chariots and the riders, the Egyptian army are stuck. Walls of water that stood on either side then cascade down, drown the horse and the rider in the midst of the sea. It was Miriam walked over and grabs a tambourine. Looks out and the Bible says, and Moses and the people of Israel, the children of Israel, they sang this song unto the Lord. They began to worship. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God. I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh chariots and his host has he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. They express joy in their deliverance. What about the handmaid of the Lord, Mary, when it was revealed to her she would be the mother, she would bring forth the Son and call his name Jesus, that the Holy Ghost would come upon thee and the power of the highest would overshadow thee. And that holy thing which shall be born shall be called the Son of God. It is Mary that even in the midst of extenuating and external circumstances that were life-threatening. For in her day and age, have a child out of wedlock was a stonable offense. And I'm sure that in her humanity, some of those feelings and some of those thoughts, I'm going to be expecting a child and I've not known a man. How can this be, seeing I've known not a man? She's saying, I'm a virgin, and when I'm
pregnant, nobody's going to believe that I'm a virgin. I'm not married. So externally, there's a possibility of death. But this is what she said. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." Maybe not this particular generation. Maybe not the one I'm in now. Maybe not the circumstances I'm dealing with presently, but I have enough faith to believe. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. I've got enough joy in the revelation that from generation to generation, they will call me blessed. What about in adversity? Got to hurry to a close. The Apostle Paul, many times, encouraged us to find joy in tribulations. Throughout the New Testament, we are encouraged that as we suffer with Christ, we still can have joy, because our hope and joy do not rest in this world, but in our relationship with God. And certainly, as a result of salvation, as a result of receiving the power of the Holy Ghost in our lives, Bible tells us, 1 Peter 1 and 8, "Whom having not seen ye love, and whom though ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." As believers, we have the opportunity to experience unspeakable joy. Joy that I can't just express in words, joy that I express in other ways, joy that I shout concerning, joy that I clap concerning, joy that I sing concerning, joy that I dance. Joy that comes from an internal condition and connection with my Creator. Draw your attention one more time to Romans chapter 15, verse 13. "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Not in my circumstances, not in the situations that surround me, but simply in the Holy Ghost, I find joy. And the reality, one of these days, all storms of life will be over. One of these days, time shall be no more. I'm looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm waiting for that moment. I'm not waiting in despair. I'm not waiting with anxiety. I'm waiting in the understanding that I'm here right now for a purpose. Apostle Paul said, "Listen, I'd rather depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Death doesn't scare me. I welcome it. I'd rather go. But right now I'm at a strait 2x2. I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. But nevertheless, it's more needful for you that I abide here in the flesh. So the reason why I'm still here is that God has something for me. So until that time, I'm called home either by death or by when he comes to catch those who are alive and remain, to meet him in the air, guess what? We're looking for it. We're waiting for it. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Why don't you stand to your feet this morning? True joy is not connected to the here and now. True joy is connected to the hereafter. Yes. True joy is connected to the understanding that my God shall supply all my needs. My God will work. My God will do what is needful for me. And I rejoice in that reality. In our lesson text, John used the illustration of a woman in travail as she approaches the time of giving birth. Her sorrow from the pain and struggle increases intensely as she approaches that time of birth. However, an interesting thing happens when the child is born. I saw it on the face of my wife. They put children upon her chest, and I smile even in the midst of that pain, even in the midst of that anguish, the joy that spread across her face, and that a child was born. And even in the midst of our circumstance, even in the midst of situation, we can understand that maybe, just maybe, God is birthing something in us. Maybe, just maybe, there's something. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Yes. All over this house. However you want to express it, whether you want to lift your hands, whether you want to lift your voice, whether you want to shout, whether you want to dance, whether you want, whatever you want to do in an expression, why don't you take a few moments and express some joy?
Hallelujah. Jesus,
Jesus, oh, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful.
I feel the joy of the Lord falling fresh on me. I feel
His righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost.
Delivering me. I feel the joy of the
Pastor, you're saying that even in the midst of dire situations and circumstances, somebody can still have joy? Yes, I am.
I feel the joy of the Lord.
Are you telling me that even in the midst of tragedy and even in the midst of uncertainty, people can still sing for joy? Yes.
I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me. Oh, I feel the joy of the Lord falling fresh on me. I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me. I feel the joy of the Lord falling fresh on me. I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me. Joy of the Holy Ghost. of the devil's gaze, keeping me in bondage through my sorrow and pain. I deserve better, I won't go another day. I'm here to claim deliverance in Jesus' name. I feel the joy of the Lord falling fresh on me. I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me. Jubilee, I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me. I feel the joy of the Lord falling fresh on me. I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me. On me, I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless your name, bless your name, most high. Praise your name. We give you glory.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.